Welcome back to the Motherlode Show. Thank you for joining me for another week. The podcast is up. This episode is up everywhere that you can get podcasts. Also, if you're listening on WVCR, I want to thank you so much for listening in. Of course, if you listen to me every week, you know what this show is about. You know the kind of stuff that I talk about. For those of you that don't know what this show is all about, this episode is going to help explain that. Now, I talked a little bit about this the very first episode that I put out, episode one, which is, of course, up on all of the podcasting sites, Apple, iTunes, whatever. I need to address some newer things. Some things that I haven't talked about before on the show and why I think that this platform is so important for us to get out the ideas, to be able to share the ideas of things that are true and to talk about the deep issues of life in the universe, which is, of course, what I do on the show. That's why I've called this A Time to Speak, and I'll get into that right here. So your mama told you, beware of strangers. Don't step into strange white vans. Don't go down dark alleys with random people. But there is one man who is willing to brave the dangers, who is willing to talk to strangers, and that is Gary Walker. His new podcast, Beware of Strangers, is out, where he goes and he talks to random strangers on the internet about random stuff. A really good listen. You can check that out at Anchor, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen to Beware of Strangers with Gary Walker. Check it out now. I recommend it. Beware of Strangers, the new podcast. So I've gotten a lot of letters in from fans over the years. Sometimes it's just nice little notes, every now and then a call in, and I really appreciate that. I always like hearing your guys' feedback, things that you're interested in hearing on the show. I, of course, can take emails if you ever want to email me on the show, and you can do that just by sending me an email to jacksong, that's Jack, S-O-N-G, .dunn, jacksong.dunn, at gmail.com. And I'll take your letters, I'll take your requests, I'll take even your criticisms, and I'll try to incorporate them into making the show the best that it can be. Over the last week, I got a letter. Rather, the letter was sent to the radio station 88.3 that I broadcast from every weekend. And the writer was rather upset because last week I talked a little bit about how our crisis of confidence that is exemplified in the way in which we talk about gender in the United States has become a real issue and has become a reason why teens and other people who kind of follow the transgender lobby groups have an issue with confidence. And they were very upset about this. Now, it's understood. I totally get it. They had some interesting comments, and I realized that because of the comments, that this person did not really understand what the show was all about. The lady who sent in the letter, she said that she was very upset because I talked, you know, rather critically against this LGBT lobby, and she said, "What are you going to talk about next time? White supremacy, how the white race is the best race." And I thought that was very interesting for her to send out because this is radio. She doesn't know what color my skin is. But she assumed that I would be a white guy speaking out against a, quote, marginalized group in some position of power hidden behind a microphone where I can't either be reached by the fans. And secondly, she assumed something about me that wasn't necessarily true. So just for context, I'm a Jewish kid. I'm the son of Hungarians. My grandfather actually came over in the 1956 revolution, where he had to escape from the communists in Russia. On my father's side, I'm Jewish. And that side of the family escaped from Russia, from the pogroms, where they were kicked out because they were Jewish. So, I'm not exactly what you'd call a regular, white supremacist. That isn't exactly my style. And the thing is that I don't have to agree with certain people's opinions about what is a marginalized group for my opinions to be valid. It's interesting that in the way that we talk today, we like to make these little assumptions and little boxes about people that we disagree with and then use them to clobber people over the head with. That is how our political discussion has come into being. And there are so many laws nowadays, even codified into law, there are these hate speech laws where somebody can be convicted of doing what's called, quote, hate speech. And people will entirely ruin someone's life for saying something bad about a specific group in the country that they even don't agree with, okay? And it seems very counterintuitive if we have the right to free speech. Because if we do have the right to free speech, the only free speech that really matters is free speech that we disagree with, because speech that we agree with, we're never going to regulate no matter what. It isn't free speech if everyone agrees with everybody. What's more, the truth is oftentimes the most controversial opinion to have. And when I started this program, that's why I started it, because I wanted to be able to have a platform where I could speak about things that aren't often talked about in either political or polite discussion in the United States. But I wanted to be able to speak about issues that affected people's lives on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes I want to talk about people's personal lives. Sometimes I want to talk about religion and beliefs. And these things a lot of us don't want to talk about on a regular basis, and it's understandable because we disagree and people don't like what we talk about. But the truth is, if we have the freedom to speak, if we have the right to free speech, we should exercise it by giving opinions that we disagree about. But if we don't want to alienate other people, if we don't want to hurt other people, which is, by the way, not my intention, it is never to come here and to bash on a person for who they are, but rather to explain why there is a better and a worse way to handle our lives, why there is good and why there is evil, and how we can be a good person. This is the reason that I'm on the radio, and this is the reason that I try to talk about things that sometimes we won't agree with. But if there is a right and there is a wrong in the world, then even if we disagree with what's right, it's still not going to change the fact that it's right. If there's a wrong and we agree with that wrong, don't we want to be discussing it and to be convicted or to be opened to the error of our ways? And I want that too. That's why I open up my email to you. I want to speak to you. I want to hear your opinions, and I want to bring them onto the show. Again, if you want to send me stuff, that is awesome. I love to hear from you guys, even if it's stuff where you really, really disagree with me. Again, you can send Jack Song, that's S-O-N-G, Jack, S-O-N-G, dot Dunn, D-U-N-N, at gmail.com. But at the same time, while I want to hear from you, I want to have a discussion with you, and I want to be able to speak candidly and openly about what is right and what is wrong. To be candid and to be honest about what is right and what is wrong, you also have to be willing to step on the toes of people who are refusing to see what's right and what's wrong. Because there are those people. In a free society, this is the reason that we hold elections. Okay, because the general assumption of the people who made the electoral system was that society at large will end up righting itself. It will end up realizing if there is an error of its ways. While small groups won't necessarily, right? We'll always have fringe elements in our society. But generally speaking, a majority of people will realize a reasonable way. At the same time, a large portion of a society can be deluded into evil by a couple of evil leaders. And a large portion of society can also be deluded by the fact that they don't want to see something that would be inconvenient or painful to them. Because nobody wants to look at the truth and say, oh yeah, that is the truth, when it goes against ourselves, when it hurts ourselves, when it makes us change our opinions and our positions. There's no one who spoke truth in the way that Stephen did in the Bible. He was the first martyr in the Bible, and actually, I don't know if the first one in recorded history, but certainly in Christian history. He was up for trial from the Jews right after the death of Jesus. He was one of the first people who went out and spread the fact that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah and that Jesus was God. And he was taken to court in front of what was considered the religious court of the Jews, the Sanhedrin. And he was very candid with them. He spoke to them about why Jesus Christ was God. But at the same time, he made a really strong accusation against the Jews who had just offed Jesus by turning him over to the Romans for crucifixion, claiming that he was a dissenter against the king, Caesar, at the time. And if you listen to his language, it is no wonder at all that he was killed by the Jews for his beliefs, because he was not going to back down from the fact that he thought that the Jews had done wrong for killing Jesus Christ. He said this to them, and this was in court, by the way, where an accusation is supposed to have legal backing and is supposed to have evidentiary backing. You're not supposed to just go off half-cocked when you're sworn in court. But this is what he said. You have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. So if we listen to the way that Stephen spoke in the Bible, we can understand why the Jews wanted him killed, why Stephen became the first martyr in the cause of Christianity. He was not going to back down from a really unpopular opinion spoken to the most religious in the land of Israel, that they did wrong for killing an innocent man. This was one of those inconvenient truths that I'm speaking about, where if you speak the truth, even if it hurts, even if it really grates on the soul of other people, if it's the truth, then you say it anyway. And for him, it didn't work out that well, in that he was killed for what he said. And yet, as he died, he said that he saw heaven opened, and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And even during his death, even though he was stoned by the Jews, by the way, even during his death, he knew that he had done right. He knew that he had spoken the truth, that Jesus Christ was God, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and that they had done wrong in killing him. But the other part of speaking the truth is understanding when you're wrong. And not only understanding when you're wrong, but realizing that if you want to be able to repent, that if you want to be able to say you're sorry for something that you've said in the past that's wrong, or something that you've done in the past that's wrong, then you have to afford that same level of repentance to the other people that you talk to and the other people that you deal with. This is probably something that I personally have the hardest time with. Because it isn't easy for me. I don't think it's easy for anyone. It's a human nature thing to say that we're wrong. And it's not very easy to go back and see something that you've always held as true, always held as important, and to let it go. It's a difficult thing. And over time, as I've had to change certain opinions that I've had about the way that the world works as I grew older. This is the way people are. It's not easy. It's not easy to let old habits die. And so I expect that if I want to repent, in other words, if I want to change my opinion, if I want to say, oh, dang, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that, you know? That I can expect that same thing from other people. And that's something that, by the way, in our culture, where we see these hate speech laws, where we can't speak in hate, where we can't talk, we can't say slurs against this group or that group, which, by the way, may be very good. But we also don't see the ability to repent if you do say something wrong. Just look at the news. How many people have gotten their careers and their lives ruined by things they said 4, 6, 12, 20 years ago? Paula Deen, if you remember, the celebrity chef, was kicked from all of her shows because she made a tasteless joke many years before. Kevin Hart, of course, was kicked out of the Oscars for making a joke against transgender individuals many years before. And here's the thing. Maybe they were wrong, maybe they were right, and that isn't really what I'm speaking about. But there is no expectation that people can change, and there is no expectation of repentance in our world. And while we speak about hate speech, we talk a lot about how we don't want people to hate, and by the way, neither do I. We don't want hatred in our speech and in our rhetoric in society. But at the same time, we hold this rather hateful opinion that people are going to be hateful all of their lives because of one comment that they may have made 10, 20 years ago. It's kind of an oxymoron when the people who dislike hate speech will go and hate on the people who use hate speech. Instead, we're supposed to be loving our enemies and praying for those who hurt us. You see, freedom to speak, freedom to talk about the truth, means that you have to be willing, one, to hear about when you're not telling the truth. And second of all, to talk about the truth means that somehow your words are going to do something good in the world. The reason that we have the freedom to speak is so that ideas about possibly when our government becomes a tyrannical government, which is why the founders of America first put the right to free speech in our Constitution, is so that when there is tyranny, when there is hate in the world, that we can say, look, here it is, and point to it and say, look. And other people who are reasonable can see it and can change. You see, when we're cut off from these ideas are when the Dark Ages form. For thousands and thousands of years, the Catholic Church, maybe not thousands and thousands, certainly around 1,000 years, the Catholic Church tried to limit ideas within the Christian community. They refused to let the Bible be published in anything but Latin. If someone translated it, they were accused of heresy and burned or stoned. If someone besides the clergy tried to read the Bible, oh, heresy again. The Spanish Inquisition, all of these ideas were stopped. And for this reason, we call the area from about 800 AD to about 1500 AD, maybe 1400 AD, I guess, which is the start of the Enlightenment, or the Renaissance, excuse me. We call this area the Dark Ages, where people really didn't have a whole lot of ideas about how life and science actually worked, where people were under the oppression of rulers, a lot of times monarchs, where there was a definite caste system through the feudal system. And people really didn't progress a whole lot. There weren't a lot of progressions in art. There weren't a lot of progressions in science, in health, in life and longevity. There were diseases as late as the 1600s, the Black Plague, wiping out millions of people. And the reason for this was that the people at the top of society were not willing to allow ideas to percolate throughout society, weren't allowing speech to percolate through society, didn't want the truth to get out, because in that way it might have threatened their own existence. It might have threatened their own comfortable way of life. So for that reason, they were willing to subject the world to uncomfortable situations to keep what they had. And that's the situation that we're coming into in our day and age as well. When we think about the way we spoke 20 years ago. I was watching a movie from the 1980s recently, and the way in which they spoke back and forth between men and women, and just back and forth in general, was a lot less careful than the way in which we speak today. You know, they talked about, oh, if women shouldn't do that in society, or men shouldn't do that in society. And there were definite standards of, like, men hold open the door. There were standards about the way that people kind of acted to each other. But people were always pretty free and open about saying how they felt in every single situation. Nowadays, we don't feel that freedom. And if you say something that other people construe as hurtful, it may come back and hurt you 5 years, 10 years down the road, because it's all up on the internet, and who knows when it'll suddenly take off. Someone will find it and complain about it on some Tumblr or something like that, and it'll get out, and your life will be ruined. You see, this isn't the way that free speech works. The way that free speech works is that we have to be willing to have our privacy, if you will, our personal idea of what's right and wrong, invaded by other people's ideas. And we have to be able to take ideas and talk about them in polite society. To say, look, I believe, as I do, in Jesus Christ. I also believe that you should be following the laws in the Bible, that you should live a life exemplary of that. I believe that other religions are false. I can say this, okay? And the reason that I can say this is because that I expect that if someone disagrees with me, they can come up to me and they can say, why do you believe that? I disagree with you. Let's have a discussion, and we can actually talk about it, and I can present them with the evidence of why I believe what I believe. You see, that's where free speech is seen. Is in the discussion, is in the debate back and forth between people who very likely disagree, but who are willing to present each other rather than trying to shut each other's ideas, trying to shut each other's thoughts down. They're willing to talk back and forth and to present the evidence for why something is true. Because the truth is what matters. And lastly, this lady who sent me this letter, and I don't know why I'm going on. It's not her specifically. There's always this human nature to want to justify yourself in front of somebody, to speak to somebody and say, look, this is why I do what I do, when they criticize you. And so that's what I'm doing. But it's not her specifically, but she said, maybe there's a place for Jackson Dunn on right-wing radio, but it's not good here. He's speaking to the wrong crowd or something like that. But no, you see, I'm not right wing. I'm not political. This show is not a political show. And the thing is that it shouldn't be a case of let's drop someone into a crazy right wing or left wing category if they disagree. But rather, why don't we look at the evidence of who we are to determine whether our ideas are right or wrong? You see, the reason that I believe in God is because the evidence points to it. The amazing complexity of life. The idea that many of the things that we have come to realize through either scientific means or through millions of hours of studying philosophy and human and anthropology and human relations with each other, all of those ideas were exemplified in the Bible. The first talk of constellations and their specific relation to each other in the sky. The talk about planets circling the Earth was actually seen in the Bible. And there's this idea that the Bible is somehow archaic and unscientific, but for its time, it was remarkably accurate. And the fact that science seems to bear out many of the claims of the Bible, and history as well. Many of the people who are believed to be only allegories or stories in the Bible, now as more and more archaeological evidence comes out, are seen to be real people. For instance, one of the people in the book of Nehemiah, which is a book in the Bible about the Jews returning after a time of exile under the Babylonian rule. One of the leaders of that time, they recently unearthed the coin with his name on it. So he was actually a legitimate leader at the time. A lot of people really had doubted the story of Nehemiah, that it was an actual fact, a fact-based account before that. But now we actually have evidence to the contrary, that it is indeed factual. But more than that, the Bible does not shy away, and neither should we, from saying that people are wrong. The Bible specifically says that nobody does everything right, that there isn't a single person on earth that could be justified for their actions. Every person has sinned. Every person is guilty of hiding a hatred for other people at some level or another, of hiding a dislike of doing things right all the time, of not treating our neighbor correctly, of not loving God and people in the way that we should. Every person is guilty, and the Bible makes no bones about the fact that you are in need of help for your messed up condition on earth. That the reason we see death, and the reason we see killing, and the reason we see war and murder is because of our selfishness that makes us want to take things that aren't ours, that makes us want to fight over things that we don't need to be fighting about, that there is some innate human condition and some hurt in the human heart that needs healing, and that we do really bad things. Like in the case of Stephen, the Jewish leaders of the time had turned over an innocent man to death because his ideas threatened them. But hearing that we've done wrong is painful, but it is the first step in healing as well. And as a believer, that there is truth in the Bible and that truth should be spoken to other people, I also believe that the words that I say, if they're wrong, that I'll hear about them from other people, and that maybe I can be changed. Maybe I can be taught to understand if I've done something wrong. And at the same time, I afford the same forgiveness to someone else, that if they say something wrong, that if they say something hurtful or ignorant, that I can say, yeah, maybe it was, but I'm going to forgive you and we're going to move on from this. Because it's only in this ability to send an idea out, to try to change a mind using evidence rather than hatefully trying to shut someone down. And thirdly, to give forgiveness when it's needed for somebody who has said something wrong. That's the only condition in which real free speech exists. And that's the reason that I speak on the radio as well. I want to speak the truth, and I'm not going to shy away from the fact that if I believe that something in society is wrong, I'm going to speak about it. I also expect that if I've done something wrong, that I'll hear about it. And you're welcome to send me messages, send me notes, talk to me, send critical stuff. That's okay. I don't mind. And thirdly, when the evidence is presented, in the end, we're going to have to stand before our Maker, and I hope that we can give each other forgiveness here on earth. That we can say, look, we're going to change our actions. We're going to change our ways. And we're going to listen to what the truth says, not to our own desire for what would be the truth in our own alternate universe. But we can listen to the truth and we can change. And for that reason, we can be better, better people. Because the truth is spoken about. Because we're going to follow what the evidence says. And whenever I'm on the radio, that's what I'm going to do. So thank you, lady, I don't know who you are, for sending in that letter. Because it reminds me that hearing from somebody who really hates the show, who really hates the things I say, is okay. That I don't have to be liked by everybody. That not everybody has to like what I say, and that I'm willing to listen to evidence that I'm wrong. But also that I'm not going to shy away from the hate if what I say is true. Because if the things that I say are true, that God is real, that there is a specific way that humans should live on Earth, and that we can all change to be better people, if that's true, then a society that isn't willing to talk about it is a society that is willing to be plunged into the dark ages to hold on to its fragile comforts. And I'm not okay with that. So thank you. And thank you guys who listen in. You're the reason that I'm here. This is the Mother Lode Show. I'm Jackson Dunn. I'll be with you next week. See you then.